Hi, welcome to the I Am a Kingdom Influencer radio broadcast. I am your host, Elder Corlette James, and I am so happy to be able to connect with you in the airwaves on today. Now sit back, buckle up, and let's meet today's influencers. Well, hello, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you are at your point in time of your day that you are hearing the sound of our voices, we thank you and we welcome you to the I Am a Kingdom Influencer broadcast. We are so excited today because we have a guest that is no stranger to the platform of influence. We have the man behind the movement of Black CEO, Mr. Trevor Ott. Thank you for joining us, Trevor, and sharing with us on today. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you today?
I am excellent. Thank you. So, Trevor, tell us how you got to the place of starting the movement of Black CEO.
Well, you know, Black CEO, one of the things that we were able to do is we were very strategic about how we wanted to launch it. And we used a formula. We used a formulaic approach to it. And that formula that we used was M plus M plus M equals M. And that's to say that a movement plus a message plus a methodology equals money. And what we realized is that so many brands and so many organizations and so many missions never really take off because people don't realize is that there needs to be a movement afoot. And so the movement, which is the first M, is really this concept or this idea that people rally together around. Mm-hmm. And if powerful people ask powerful questions, I'm a believer in that principle, then what is the concept or the idea that people can rally together around? Mm-hmm. And so what a person has to do is you have to think about, well, what do you care about? Like, what do you actually care about? And the thing that I guarantee you is that there are a whole lot of people who care about the things that you care about. Mm-hmm. And what you have to do is you have to build a movement that's designed to attract people who care about the same thing that you care about. Mm-hmm. So I care about Black entrepreneurship. So I created an organization called Black CEO. That was the concept or the idea that people rallied together around. Now, just having that concept or an idea that people rallied together around is not the only thing. Like, there's a perfect example. You might not know, I'm gonna give you one of the secrets to the Black CEO, right? One of the secrets, right? I am a big anime fan. I've been one since I was a kid, you know. I'm a comic book kid from Capitol Heights who happened to be an entrepreneur, right?
Okay.
So I was that kid. And so there's an anime cartoon, which is like Chinese cartoons or called Dragon Ball Z. And it's probably at least 25, 30 years old. Well, recently, they released a movie in the movie theaters that was only going to play for one day. And I went to the movies thinking, well, they're probably not going to be that many people there. Mm-hmm. So I tried to go book my movie ticket. And when I go to book my movie ticket, they're like, oh, it's sold out. I go to another place, it's sold out. And I'm like, whoa, is it that many people that like that? Yes. And so I finally found a place that had movie tickets. And I went in there and the whole theater was packed out. Wow. Because there's always somebody out there or somebody's who is interested in the thing or things that you're interested in. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about the first M, the movement or the movement being the concept or the idea that people rally together around, right? The question that you have to ask yourself is first, what's the one thing that you care about? What's the one thing that you love? I don't care if it's basket weaving, right? And then what you have to do is create a movement around that thing that you care about. And so that's the concept or the idea that people can rally together around, because they're rallying together around the same thing that you care about. Mm-hmm. And then within that, every movement must have a moment, and those moments must be disruptive, and it's the disruptive moments within your movement that give it momentum. So every movement, right, mm-hmm. it must have this moment, mm-hmm. right? A moment of what? A moment of disruption, right? And it's the disruptive moments within your movement that give it momentum. So what is disruption? Disruption means you got to challenge the norm. So challenge what people normally do, normally think, right? Mm-hmm. or normally say, right? Mm-hmm. But you mm-hmm. also got to challenge yourself, challenge what you normally think, challenge what you normally do, and challenge what you normally say. So with Black CEO, one of the things that we did initially in our launch, we created this meme. And this meme just said, as a Black CEO, I'm unapologetic about the unique distinction that I represent in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. My name is Trevor Ott, and I'm a Black CEO. This was mm-hmm. the beginning of the movement. And I want everybody to kind of follow along as you're listening and really take these notes, because I'm going to show you how to not just create a movement, but how to make your movement go viral. Okay?
Okay.
So follow me. What we wrote was this meme. It said, as a Black CEO, I am unapologetic about the unique distinction that I represent in the marketplace. My name is Trevor Ott, and I'm a Black CEO. Hashtag Black CEO. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, the thing is, this meme released probably 2 days after Donald Trump took office, was a very polarizing time in the United States, because as a Black entrepreneur, as a person of color, you were very fearful. You questioned, you wondered what the new regime meant for you as a person of color.
Mm-hmm.
We were still coming off of Trayvon Martin. We were still coming off of Philando Castile. So there was this need to assert our Blackness, to assert our value to this country as a whole, but not just to this country, but to the world. Because remember, they were still coming off of riots in France. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So all around the world, you start seeing people of color, you started seeing their value being diminished within the countries that they were contributing to.
Mm-hmm.
And I visited in other countries like South Africa and other countries where this kind of diminishing of the Black contribution was happening on a global level. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so I released this meme, and it says, as a Black CEO, I am unapologetic about the unique distinction that I represent in the marketplace. I am a hashtag Black CEO. And it resonated. And so I put at the bottom of this thing, if you want your own free image, go here to order. And they went there to order, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they went there to kind of order this free image, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when they ordered this free image, we swapped out my picture and put their picture. We swapped out my name and we put their name.
Mm-hmm.
And it became their statement, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, initially, it was designed to be a meme for me. But when I first saw the meme, it was so powerful. I was so overwhelmed with it. I said that everybody should be able to make this statement about their Black contribution.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, it gets us to a principle. I want you to write this down. When somebody's association with your brand makes a statement about who they are, right? When somebody's association with your brand
mm-hmm.
makes a statement about who they are,
mm-hmm.
your brand has now become influential, okay? Your movement has become influential. Your mission has become influential. So you don't want to just have a movement. You really want to have an influential movement. You mm-hmm. don't really want to have a brand. You want to have an influential brand. You don't want to have a message. You really want to have an influential message, right? And so what happened was, we did not make Black CEO go viral. The people did, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because what happened was, their association with our brand made a statement about who they are. Let me use that as an example. Corlett, do you like Starbucks? I'm a Starbucks guy, by the way.
I'm a Starbucks girl.
Okay.
Yes,
okay. Woo! I was going to get all out for you, right? What's really interesting is you can buy coffee from a lot of places. And Starbucks is not the first coffee barista, right, in the world. It's not the first, but it's definitely one of the most powerful and one of the most popular and one of the most profitable in the world. And
mm-hmm.
here's what happened is, they are not just a coffee brand. They are a lifestyle brand. They mm-hmm. are an influential brand.
Mm-hmm.
When you drink Starbucks, Starbucks makes you feel like you are environmentally friendly. Starbucks makes you feel like you are cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Starbucks is so cool. They're so influential. If people will just take a picture of their cup of coffee and post it without their picture, just a picture of the coffee, and it'll go viral. Like, y'all know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? This is mm-hmm. Starbucks.
Right.
But you've never seen somebody post a picture of a cup of McDonald's coffee. They don't say, hey, by the way, meet me at McDonald's for a cup of coffee.
Right.
People go on first dates to Starbucks.
Starbucks. Yes.
People have meetings at Starbucks because mm-hmm. Starbucks has this influential factor,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when somebody's association with your brand makes a statement about who they are, your brand is influential. Nike understood this. A couple of really some weeks ago, Nike released this meme with Colin Kaepernick.
Yes.
It just said, you know, sometimes you got to just do it, even if it cost you everything.
Everything. Yes.
And it had a picture of Colin Kaepernick, and it had this, it had Nike, right? And basically, everybody said, oh, you're crazy for doing that. Until Nike's stock went up by billions.
Billions.
Until, billions of dollars. Billions.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And you had other athletes and celebrities who were openly endorsing other brands, say, I'm wearing Nike today, even though they might be getting paid by Adidas.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. And see, you look at what the separator was, which is, you know, Adidas is a shoe brand. It's an athletic brand, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where maybe Converse or what is the other one? I think with the the guy from Golden State represents. I can't think of the name of the brand to save my life right now.
There's Puma. There's Reebok.
Yeah, these are all really athletic brands, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, Nike transcended. They became a transcendent brand by getting to the point where they became influential.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did was Under Armour. That's what I was thinking, Under Armour, right? These are all athletic brands. And they all have athletes that represent them,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And they all have celebrities that represent them.
Mm-hmm.
They all have this kind of inherent cool factor that you feel cool because you're wearing them, right? They all they all had that same factor, but the thing that made Nike different, that caused them to go right back to the top of the pack, because everybody was doing the same thing. Like, everybody was getting a rapper to promote their brand. Everybody was getting a basketball player to promote their brand. Everybody was getting a football player to promote their brand. Everybody was trying to make their brand cool using hip songs and things like that. Everybody was doing the same thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the big difference maker was only Nike moved to the point where they became influential. Because when somebody's association with your brand makes a statement about who they are, your brand is influential.
Mm-hmm.
So people started wearing Nike, you know, who ordinarily wouldn't wear it, just because it made a statement about who they are. And people who were already wearing Nike, you know, started more prominently featuring it because it made a statement about who they are. And so to become an influential brand, a person has to do three things. Number one, your brand has to be cool,
mm-hmm.
right? It has to have a cool factor. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Meaning it has to make somebody feel a certain kind of way because they are wearing this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Second thing that it has to have is it has to be relevant. That means it must make impact within the dispensation of time in which it exists. So it has to create impact within the dispensation of time in which it exists. You see what I'm coming from?
Yes,
so
it does.
So in other words, not only does it have, so sometimes we will do things that we see other brands do,
mm-hmm.
but that brand, it was impactful then. And so that brand is still doing it because they're living within the legacy of the impact that they created some years ago. So perfect example, if you do what Les Brown did to get famous and popular and paid, you're gonna fail.
Mm-hmm. It's not relevant now.
Yeah, but he can do it and he can mm-hmm. get away with it because mm-hmm. he is the greatest,
right?
He is the greatest, but he gets to live within the legacy of the impact that he created.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with following other people is that you can't live within the legacy of somebody else's impact. You should write that down. Everybody listening right now, you cannot live within the legacy of somebody else's impact. And so this is why you have to be disruptive. Every movement must have a moment. Those moments must be disruptive. And it's a disruptive moments within your movement to give it momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Disruption is challenging the norm. Powerful, we ask powerful questions. How do I challenge the norm? What is disruption? Mm-hmm. Challenging what I normally do. Challenging what I normally think. Challenging mm-hmm. what I normally say. What is disruption? Challenging what they normally do. Challenging what they normally think. Challenging what they normally say. So you got to challenge them and you. You got to challenge them and you. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You got to be willing to be different. You know, you cannot be an echo in the marketplace. You cannot be a parrot in the marketplace. They play parrots with crackers. They pay people who are originals with money. If you find that you're getting paid peanuts and crackers, it's because you're a parrot, an echo. If you find that you're getting paid real money, congratulations, you are an original.
Mm-hmm.
So this disruption, you cannot live within the legacy of somebody else's impact. So rule of thumb is that if you know, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
Mm-hmm.
Insanity 2.0 says doing the same thing as everybody else and expecting a different result.
Mm.
That just ain't gonna work.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. So you gotta be willing to be disruptive. So part of starting that Black CEO movement was like, you know what? Now I'll be honest with you. For years, for decades, I lived my entrepreneurial life to try to fit in, not fit out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I was like, okay, well, I don't want to offend nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Now I absolutely want to offend some people. Because
mm-hmm.
here's what I know. Marketing is, it's just as important to think about the people you want to bring in as it is to think about the people you want to keep out. If you're not offending somebody in marketing, you're probably not doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
You might not like Donald Trump, but he's a hell of a fire marketer.
Yeah.
And he's a better brand than most.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care for his what's his name, but I do know this. You don't win. You cannot win the presidency without being good at marketing and branding.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so he had, remember, no matter what you believe, there's always people like you that believe the same thing.
Right.
So the movement is the concept of the idea that people rally together around.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Barack Obama did the same thing. I don't care whether we talk about politics. He had a movement, a concept that people that can rally together about.
Right.
Yes, right. I can. Do you believe it? Yes, I believe we can.
Yes.
So what I'm really getting at is that what we got to do is, you, Colette, have you ever heard the story of the third giraffe?
No.
No, you never heard the story of the third giraffe?
No.
Okay, but I'm sure you heard the story of Noah's Ark.
Of course.
See, there was like Noah's Ark. And then there was the side movie called The Third Giraffe. You just didn't never really hear about it, right? It was like a B-level movie, right?
Okay.
It's a B-level Bible movie. It's a B-level Bible movie. Okay.
And,
here's the story of Third Giraffe. You know, Noah wanted two buffaloes. He wanted two goats. He wanted two dogs, two cats, two lions, two tigers. But he also wanted two giraffes.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, all Noah was trying to do was save the world in his own special way. He had a vision, and he was just trying to save the world in his own special way.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was trying to tell people, like, look, the flood's coming. The flood is coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I imagine it being like Tattoo on the Fantasy Island, and the plane is coming. The plane is coming, you know? So there are a couple giraffes sitting on the beach, and they're talking like, you know, I don't know about that. I don't know if that's for me. I don't know. You know, they're thinking about it. They're talking about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, there were three giraffes. Two of the giraffes said, you know what? I'm getting on that ark. I'm getting on that boat because I ain't trying to drown. Mm-hmm. Right? The third giraffe was like, nah, I'm going to think about it. I'm going to see what y'all doing. The third giraffe was busy talking about it. The third giraffe was busy hating on everybody. The third giraffe mm-hmm. was like, well, I heard this, I heard that. That was the third giraffe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reason why you never heard the story of the third giraffe, because the third giraffe drowned.
He didn't get on the boat.
The third lion and the third tiger, you ain't going to never hear the story about the third giraffe.
Right.
And so when you start your movement is like an art. Mm-hmm. You're trying to save the world in your own special way. Mm-hmm. And you got to be okay with some people drowning.
Mm. That's interesting.
And there will be people who will not reap the benefit of the vision of your movement.
You know, that brings me to another question. Because I know you're really big on collaboration. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Working together. My ex-boss used to say working together works. You made a statement about going against the norm. The normal concept of us as an ethnic group is that we don't work together. We have that crab in the barrel mentality. We don't want to see somebody else rise, and we pull them back down. How have you overcome that stigmatism in our community?
Well, number one is oftentimes we buy into truths or truths that were written by somebody else other than us, right?
Okay.
And I do believe that as people of color, we have collaborated to build some of the greatest empires this world has ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, the United States as a country does not exist if
without
it wasn't the fact that people of color have collaborated in making this country great.
Okay.
But now we have to collaborate within our own communities because there's some things that we need to get done for us.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we set out to do This was really in 2013. We decided that we were going to be the number one collaborators in the world. And it took effort. And so the first thing is, and it is really the premise of Black CEOs, that when we cooperate, one plus one equals two. Mm-hmm. But when we collaborate, one and one equals 11. Mm-hmm. Hashtag 11. And it's really the premise of Black CEO. Hashtag 11. Hashtag 11. If you're out there right now, write down.
Hashtag 11.
Hashtag 11, right? But I will say this, is that I think that many times as people, mm-hmm. I'm just about people in general, we struggle with the concept of collaboration because we live in such a selfish society. Mm-hmm. That being said, I had to go through, me personally, I had to go through some things learning about how to collaborate, because I thought collaboration was when we all get together to do something that benefits me, right? So like, hey, let's all collaborate. I got this thing I want to do. I want y'all all get together. But really the main benefactor is me. Mm-hmm. Collaboration is when we connect our resources together in such a way that it benefits us all, that it creates a universal benefit. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just about how do I benefit me? It's how do we do something together that benefits us all? And I think we got to be clear on when we're asking for help and when we're asking for collaboration. Mm-hmm. Because if you ask for collaboration, right, but the only benefactor is you, it basically robs that situation of the integrity. Mm-hmm. And because of that, it will typically fail. Mm-hmm. And so if you're asking for help, say, hey, I need your help. If you're really trying to collaborate, then it's your job to basically show the vision of how this collaboration will work. And mm-hmm. so here's the thing. I think that if you are a collaborator out there, mm-hmm. or if you are somebody who wants people to collaborate because you have this big vision, and you're like, nobody will work with me. You know, there's a rule that says that don't shoot the messenger, right?
Right.
Yeah, but the reality is, yeah, you should shoot the messenger, because they are not getting together based upon what you're saying out of your mouth. The rule of thumb is that you have to be able to sell the vision and position the product. You have to sell the vision and position the action, right? And so you have to sell this vision and position the action. Sell the vision and position the action. And the vision is, I must help them see what I see for them. Or if you're a company, I must help them see what we see for them. So we must help them see what we see for them. So your job as the visionary, as the leader who's trying to get people to collaborate, you got to sell the vision, right, and position the action. And if you're selling the vision, then the first thing that people buy is the vision. Mm-hmm. And if they don't buy into the vision, you have no business talking about the action. Because the buy into the vision is they can see what you see for them. And so I think a lot of times great collaborations suffer from the fact that a visionary has been a terrible communicator.
That's good. That's good. Well, I know you have an upcoming conference, Black CEO 19, and you're mm-hmm. endeavoring to do something that no one has ever done before. Tell us about your conference.
Well, this year's conference is called Black CEO 19, also known affectionately as Black and Influential. Mm-hmm. And it is designed to, one, help Black influencers leverage that influence to start creating the results that we're looking for in our business, in our lives, and in our community. One of the things that we're going to be doing for the first time is we're going to be launching an initiative to basically become the largest investor in Black businesses in the entire world. Mm. And so there have been so many organizations that I've been a part of, and good organizations. Mm-hmm. But I have always found that if you are a person of color, it can be a little bit more difficult to find investors for your idea, for your vision, for your mission, for your organization, for your products. So it's just hard. Mm-hmm. You know, and oftentimes, in general, they'll always throw up two or three or five people. It's like, well, look at this person. This person got $5 million. You know what I mean? But, you know, you're going to know like one in 1,000 people who've done that. And so what we started looking at is, well, number one, one of the things is we're not here to be saved. We're here to do the saving. And I believe that as a people, we're not broke. We just have underdeveloped finances. Okay. We're not poor. We have underdeveloped finances. And here's what we know. Every time you see somebody that says, we broke and we ain't got enough, and you say, okay, well, let me give you a call. Let's talk about it. What's your number? As soon as they give you their number, you know they ain't broke because they got a cell phone bill. Right? Okay. And as soon as somebody tells you that they broke, and you're like, oh, yeah. Did you see that Lifetime special on R. Kelly? You know they ain't broke because they got a cable. Because we're not broke and we're not poor. We got underdeveloped finances. Mm-hmm. And so what we have to do is start to develop our finances in such a way that it creates an abundance in our life and an abundance in our business so that we can live out of that abundance. And so one of the things that we're going to be doing at Black CEO is that there are chapters literally right now launching all over the country. Mm-hmm. And those chapters definitely have membership dues. So you join and there's monthly membership dues. But a large portion of those membership dues goes back to the chapter itself in the form of business grants and business investments that we allow the members to access through doing pitch. So they can do, so every month there is what we call a pitch, right? Where you get to kind of pitch your product or pitch your need. So you can pitch your product, pitch your need, pitch your company. So let's just say you have an idea for a product. Mm-hmm. Let's just say you have an idea for a company. Let's just say you have a need for your company. You pitch that, you have to, you know, do a real presentation. And after you pitch that, essentially what happens is the dues paying members of that particular chapter vote on who they're going to distribute monies to for that particular month. Okay. So that every month, that chapter is investing in its members. Okay. That your money went into a pool that you use to back other Black businesses, to back yourself, to back your community. See, at the end of the day, we're beyond looking to be saved. And I'm not saying that those programs don't have their perks and their benefit, but we also have to take on responsibility for saving ourselves. We're not here to be saved. We're here to do the saving. So the narrative of the Black victim is not a narrative that we live in. It's not a narrative. While there are many Black victims and Blacks and people of color have been victimized over time throughout the world, while we may have been victimized, we will not live the mindset of a victim. And to live in that mindset of a victim is to always put yourself in position to be victimized again. And so one of the things is this movement is really designed to take back the power within our community. It's really designed to really also reinstill a sense of pride in our community. And there are things that we've all heard, like, oh, yeah, like I remember, and I've engaged in this type of conversation, even if I've not said anything back, I've been guilty of listening to the conversation. Like the conversation of, that's why I don't do business with Black folks. That's why I don't do business with Black people. Right? Where there's this conversation about this internal expectation of what it feels like to do business with a person of color.
Right.
And so I'd like to reverse that. I'd like people to say, that's why I do business with Black people.
That's good.
That's why I do business with people of color. I like what George Frazier said. George Frazier, I thought he nailed it. He says, buy Black, sell to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. Buy Black, sell to everybody. Mm-hmm. And this is not about, hey, one race is worse than another race or one race is better than another race. But what you really have to do is you have to take care of home first.
Right.
And what we're really talking about is taking care of home, taking care of our communities, taking care of our families. And really instilling a sense of racial pride, and so that that we can be even greater contributors to the world than what we already have.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what collaboration is really all about. And so at this conference, we're going to be revealing that. If you want to get tickets to the conference, you can go to secretregistrationpage.com. You can go to secretregistrationpage.com, secretregistrationpage.com. One more time, that's secretregistrationpage.com. And what you will find there is access to getting one of the coveted invites. And in addition to that, there'll be all sorts of influencers that you will be working with. Everybody from your Delator McNeils to your Allison Birds, to your Andy Henriquez, to your George C. Frazier, to your Roberto Candelarias. And you will see all of these people in one place using their influence in such a way to help really grow your business. And what we all know is that we all have some influence. It's just how you're using it is the difference between whether you generate revenue or not. Because rule of thumb is that if you can't turn your influence into action, all you are is popular. If you can't turn your influence into action, all you are is popular. And if you're in business, if you can't turn your influence into cash, all you are is popular. And so we're not really in the business of being popularpreneurs. You got to generate real revenue. And so there'll be people there that will be using their influence. You know, Corlette, I remember all I wanted to happen when I was when I first started an entrepreneur. I was like, man, if I could get Les Brown to say my name, I would be woo. Right. And I think all of us are that way, really.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, man, like, you know, who wouldn't like Kim Kardashian to endorse their product? You know, like, Kim Kardashian is endorsing their product.
Right.
So, it's really starting to quantify that influence. It's starting to use that influence in such a way that creates the revenue. And most people are not using their influence effectively. Some people are struggling with how to build their influence. And some people are struggling with how to turn that influence into revenue. And so Black and Influential is not just about other influences, but it's also about helping you grow and utilize your own influence. Because remember, when somebody's association with your brand makes a statement about who they are, you have an influential brand. Mm-hmm. And it's how you get to the heights of like an Apple or a Tesla or a Starbucks. These are no longer service-driven, service-based brands. These are what they call lifestyle brands, which is also code for influential brands. And because of that, people don't just buy it for the service. They buy it based upon the fact that they feel like it makes a statement about who they are. Did you know, Corlette, that Tesla outsold Mercedes-Benz? And that's the first time it's ever happened in the history of the luxury car industry.
Wow.
And they're on pace to also outsell BMW. It's never happened before. And with Forbes studied it, the reason why they outsold them had nothing to do with being a better car. The reason why they outsold them is because Tesla made the transition into becoming a lifestyle or influential brand, and people who drove it felt a certain way about themselves when they drove it. And so it's also getting brands to be more conscientious that you don't have to just be a service-driven brand. You don't have to just be a product-oriented brand, right? And you don't have to just be an industry-oriented brand. That you can start to morph or transcend into becoming an influential brand or a lifestyle brand. It's the same way with Apple. When you meet somebody that got an Apple, by the way, Corlette, are you team Apple or you team Android?
I'm Android. Samsung Note 8. I'm team Android.
Now, if you ever meet somebody with an Android phone, the first thing they're going to tell you is that their phone takes what? Do you know?
No.
Takes better pictures.
You know what? I gravitated from BlackBerry. I was team BlackBerry to Android. But remember, in the day, the BlackBerry was the bomb.
It was the bomb. You up here telling our age now. Listen, you know what I mean? I'm trying to look younger. I'm eating better. I'm eating healthy. You're like, oh, God. You might as well talk about that Motorola flip phone that we used to have.
Had one of those, too.
Well, what's really interesting is that if you ever meet somebody with an Android phone, the first thing they'll tell you is that my phone takes better pictures.
Right.
They'll instantaneously, you ever meet somebody with, their first thing is my phone takes better pictures. When you meet somebody with an iPhone, they don't care. They know your phone takes better pictures. They don't care. They're like, dude, it's an iPhone. They're like, they don't even care. Like right now, the Android phone has all sorts of things that's better than the iPhone. iPhone people don't care. They're like, dude, it's an iPhone. is Apple. Because there's a certain way that they feel about it. Because basically, when somebody's association with your brand makes a statement about who they are, right? Then you have a lifestyle brand. You have an influential brand. So a lot of times people who carry iPhones is because a lot of times they feel like it makes a statement about who they are. You know what I mean? And so with Android, they always like, nope, I got to show you what my phone does that's better than your phone. Android, iPhone people don't care. They can be like, look, your phone can do, it can, basically it can cook dinner for me. I'm still going to be team iPhone.
Because they want that, I understand. Yeah,
and it's about that influence. Like, I love your brand. I love what you do. I love what you do with your podcast. I love what you do with your movement, because I think you have one of the most influential broadcasts right now in the industry. And I think that if there is an entrepreneur or a leader out there that's really trying to get their message into a space where it's really going to have impact, right, within the dispensation and time in which it exists, I think they got to come on your podcast. I think, like, this is, you know, coming on your podcast is like, you know, I call you like, she's like digital Oprah. It's like coming on Oprah. Like, digital Oprah. It's like, you know, Oprah, shut down her show because there's no more Oprah show. So I couldn't get on Oprah because it's too late. Oprah is over. So I had to come on your show. I was like, well, digital Oprah. And it's even better because it's now like all around the world. It's on YouTube. It's on podcasts. It's on Facebook. It's on audio. It's on video. So, you know, you're not Oprah. You're better than Oprah, but you're like digital Oprah. You're like digital Oprah. So that's one of the things I really love about the show and love about the influence that you have been utilizing to really impact and be an example for other Black podcasters, other Black TV show host, and I'm looking forward to the day where the world realizes how great you truly are.
I appreciate that. Thank you. So give us the dates and the location of the conference.
Okay. So the conference is February 21st through the 23rd, February 21st through the 23rd in the Washington, D.C. area. You can go to secretregistrationpage.com, secretregistrationpage.com, right? You can go there. You can go there today and get your ticket, and you'll be able to book your hotel room. I think the room block is still open, so you'll be able to get a very low-cost hotel room. And you want to come on out and join us. Now, one of the things I will say is we had a rule at our conference. Number one, we don't sell. There's no selling from the stage. Those days are over. I don't want you to come to a conference and be a sheep. The conference is track-oriented, so if your goal is to get better at marketing, there are specific tracks to help you develop your marketing. If your goal is to get better at sales, there's specific tracks to help you get better at sales. If your goal is to become a better CEO, the goal is to put you on a track that helps you develop that. And so it's track-oriented. And so we spend the mornings really learning something, doing something, and getting something. So in other words, we don't just learn, because I'd be like, God, I'd be at some kind of, I'd be like, okay, this is great, now I got to go home and do it. No, you're going to learn there, and you're going to do it there, so you get the benefits while you're there. So you're going to learn while you're there, you're going to do it while you're there, right, so that you can get the benefits while you're there. And that's the real reason why the conference exists, and so that you also don't feel like somebody's, there's like, there's this catch, like, okay, what's the catch? Like, how much? No. You already paid to be in the space, in the place. It's time for you to get what you paid for.
Awesome.
And so that's what Black and Influential is all about. And it's also about highlighting influential people like yourself.
Awesome. And if someone wants to join the movement, the Black CEO movement, how can they do that?
The first thing I would do is I'd say go over to blackceotribe.com. Go over to blackceotribe.com. And when you get there, we're going to welcome you in, introduce yourself, tell us about your business, tell us about your product, and then you can just let us know where you're from, and we'll also attach you to a chapter that is nearby to where you are. Okay? So that's at blackceotribe.com. And you'll find that this community is there to collaborate, support you, and to really be a part of the results that you're looking to produce in your life.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us today, Trevor. We really, really appreciate you. I consider it an extreme honor to have had the opportunity to spend this time with you, and you have imparted so much wisdom into our listeners' lives just in this short amount of time. So we can only imagine what it's like to be a part of the tribe. I am a part of the tribe. And I know, I know that there is so much that you gain from being a part of the tribe. It's, you know, like the adage that it takes a tribe to raise, or a village to raise a child, the tribe just kind of takes you in and helps to grow you up in what you're aspiring to do. So I can put my personal plug on that. It is a wonderful collaboration to be a part of. So thank you so very much. We really appreciate
you. Thank you so much. And for those people out there, if you're struggling in your entrepreneurial journey, because it's hard, I will tell you this, is that the struggle can break you or the struggle can grow you. Mm-hmm. But the choice is always yours. Mm-hmm. Right? There's only one way to learn how to ride a bike. Ever meet somebody that knows how to ride a bike? Everybody who learns how to ride a bike learns how to ride it the same way. There's only one way to learn it, by falling down and getting back up. Don't be afraid of the fall, and more importantly, don't ever stop getting back up. My name is Trevor Otts. I'm known as the Black CEO, and be sure to reach out to me, connect with me, and if you decide that you want to have me on your next podcast, at your next event, or your next Facebook Live, just send me a message via Facebook Messenger, and I will be sure to connect with you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that. Well, we're at the end of the show, and as always, I always like to end the show reminding you that you have the ability to connect and to influence everyone's life in which you come in contact with. And it starts by a simple hello and a smile to give value to that person that you have encountered, to let them know, I see you and you are valuable to me. So you are a kingdom influencer. Have an incredible week and influence all those that you come in contact with. God bless.
God bless.
Thank you for joining me for this edition of I Am a Kingdom Influencer. And remember, you have the ability to impact the lives of all those you come in contact with. You are a Kingdom Influencer.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.